Last Wednesday morning, a very strange thing happened. Yes, I think I can call it that. I just have to think. I could have called it amazing, even bizarre, but I don't want to get you overexcited. And I think very strange, more or less, hits it off. Perhaps I can best bring it home by giving you the bit of dialogue in which this phenomenon was embodied. It was spoken during the Potter early morning tea ceremony, which tourists come all the way from Japan to see. Or would, if they knew about it.
Thank you, darling. Down here on the bed, that's... Where's the milk jug with the other handle?
It's a terrific morning. How about a day out?
Why not? I'd like that very much. I'd love it. I really would.
No, don't worry about the milk jug. She's apt to be taken like that first thing in the morning. You were listening to the wrong line. Still, how were you to know without knowing us literary potters? Me, Gerald C., slow-moving writer of fast-moving whodunits, themselves inclined to be slow-moving once they hit the bookshops, but I blame the public for that, and she, wife of my bosom, Magnolia Badminton, as she quaintly styles herself on the title page, burper of instant romances which cause visible vapours to rise from the reader's brow. Together we run the nearest thing you'd find these days to a cottage industry. And you now see, I fancy, why the dialogue accompanying the morning tea more often goes like this.
Thank you, darling. How much were the pyjamas? I don't think they're the right spoons.
Yeah, it's a terrific morning. How about a day out?
How about my Aunt Nellie's foot? I've got 60 pages to write before Friday, and 3 characters still stuck in the blue grotto with a capsized dinghy.
Or sometimes, because I want to be absolutely fair, it goes like this.
Thank you, darling. I'll pour. Isn't it a lovely morning?
No, I haven't noticed that.
How about going out for the day?
You and who else? I've been up since 5, waiting for a witness's dying words. They could come at any time. I can't leave the bedside. The typewriter. Out of the day, I may never get out again. The whole of chapter 12 is in intensive care. Do you realise that? Synchronisation. That's the great problem with a literary marriage. That's why I call it very strange last Wednesday, one of us saying, let's go out, and the other saying, why not? It was due to an equally strange coincidence. More or less, at the identical moment the day before, we'd both written the 2 most beautiful words in the English language. The end. Publishers don't seem to print them now, I don't know why. And I expect many a dim reader doesn't even realise the entertainment's concluded and drifts on to the bit on the inside back cover under the author's 20-year-old photograph. But writers still write them. It's the first bit of fun they get since page 1. Myself, I often have quite a lull before starting another page 1. A fresh corpse, a new pool of blood. Miss Badminton, however, or Diana, as I call her in the privacy of the Potter residence, barely pauses to change a ribbon. She's like the Apollo moonshots, if you go back as far as the quaint old days of space. There's this extremely narrow re-entry slot between Badminton books. If you don't intercept practically to the 10th of a second, she's back at the keyboard while it's still warm. So this Wednesday morning, chancing to be right on target, it took a bit of taking in.
Thank you, darling. Down here on the bed. Where's the milk jug with the other handle?
Oh, it's a terrific morning. How about a day out?
Why not? I'd like that very much. I'd love it. I really would.
Ah, okay, then. Some other time, if that's how you feel.
How many bags?
Oh, we shouldn't need bags for a day.
In the tea. It looks natty.
But if you aren't coming, it doesn't really arise.
Natty, it was a G. I think they're making them smaller, tea bags, and not telling us.
I ask you, how often do you get a morning like this in the summertime? Even the birds can't believe it. They're amazed.
Same with the typewriter ribbons.
You're amazed, aren't you?
Fairy today.
Amazing, yes.
Chop a foot off each ribbon, pack in the same boxes, and what have they got? Every 10,000 sold, 3 miles of free ribbon. We could go to Brighton.
Even old next door Giebel's out there exercising his bronchitis. Oh, I shall have a bath and do some work.
These aren't the same biscuits.
Sorry, Sorry, I'm afraid I missed all that. I was evil watching. You were saying?
Are these the biscuits we had last week?
No, we ate those. No, before, you were saying.
No, I wasn't. What were you?
I said I might as well have a bath and do some work.
Work? What do you mean, work?
Well, you know what work is. None better.
What about out for the day? Gerald?
One morning.
Who'd marry an idiot? Move, Trey. Gerald? You're not listening. What happened to out for the day?
Oh, Lordy, I'm in here. Do you mind? You're next. What?
To Brighton with no bags.
You don't mean you're on.
Why not? I'd like that very much. I'd love it. I said that.
You did? You did?
That's my soap you're clutching.
Oh, I see exactly what happened.
So do I. Put it back.
No. What happened was that whenever I ask you, you never will. So naturally, when you said you would, I thought you couldn't. Darling?
You wouldn't like to rephrase that?
No, I think
it's... Or are you writing for the Dirty Minded Audience Show? Hurry up with the bath.
Right.
And leave some hot water. I'm going down to boil some eggs.
Yeah, I'll leave enough for that.
One morning in May, don't forget, dear, that
say what you like about a writer's life, it does have this wonderful freedom and independence. None of your cramping office routine, looking out of the window at a sky of cornflower blue, longing for the open spaces and stuck there dictating letters beginning, "We are in receipt of your favour of Eton date." As I remarked to Mrs. Potter at breakfast, we're the lucky ones. When the fancy takes us, get in the car and go.
You're right. Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
You're leaking yolk.
What?
Down the egg cup.
Ah.
When did we last do that?
You never do it, my darling. You're the neatest boiled egg eater in the business.
When did we last get in the car and go?
A bit messy with pride.
To the open spaces.
And poach.
Both of us, I'm talking about.
Quite good with scramble, though.
Both get in the car and go, I'm talking about.
And beautiful with boiled.
Thank you. Talking of which.
Which? Where's the marmalade?
No time for marmalade. 8:30 already and he's wanting marmalade. Talking of boiled, in the ordinary way, I'd ask you not to put all your shell bits back in the egg cup after you finish. Have you finished?
Just putting this last bit in.
So that they float in the water and get in the dish mop and bung up the sink thing and stick to the draining board. Pepper pot, please. Don't throw it.
You're well caught, madam.
But bearing in mind that you're... Oh.
Sorry. Bearing in mind, yes,
that you're doing the washing up this morning, I shan't say anything about it. If you must know, it was the day they stole the front gates when we got back. That was the last time. Bring the coffee pot in September. Hurry up. Get the car out.
Well, that's very clear. Well, I better take you now. By September, she'll be getting impatient.
Bom. La-da-dee-dum-pa-dee, leave your troubles on the doorstep, just direct...
Yes, I love that.
You're not cleaning the car.
Just when I've squeezed you out.
We've got to get on, it's 20 to 10.
Only the bits we can see.
I can't hear.
Just the front bits I'm cleaning.
Don't shout, I've got to ring him.
Ring who?
You know I can't shout it.
I'll come up.
Gerald, darling, I've just thought of something.
Good.
Two things, actually.
Good.
Is your exhaust pipe supposed to wobble like this?
Certainly, it's the sympathetic low rev syndrome.
Oh, as long as it won't fall off.
Once we hit the road, it stabilises on the grommets. Don't you worry about that, my little ignoramus.
I won't then. Why are you running the engine?
I'm testing. Was that the two things, actually?
I'm coming to them. You realise it's every other Wednesday today.
Excuse me, could you move a minute? Thank you.
Didn't it test when you got it out?
Not the wipers.
What?
Not the wipers, sorry. Window is up. I'm wiper testing. If the engine's off, they won't wipe.
They sound all right. Gerald?
Same with the screen washer. I'll just test that.
Ow! That was right in my ear, damn it.
Yes, I shall have to adjust that.
I should. You could drench a warden. Damn it. Ooh, Gerald, listen.
Near side rear winker.
What do you mean?
Go around the back. Is it winking?
Oh, I'll go and look. Just a minute. No, it isn't.
Oh, blast.
The other one is.
Look, I meant that one. Sorry. How about now?
Now it's the other one.
Brake lights? Good. Ordinary lights? Excellent. Come round the front. Look, don't step in the bucket. Offside front winker. Diana, round the front. Now where's she gone? Diana, where have you gone? Oh! Elves!
Oh, there you are.
Are you all right?
Your leg's wet. Cheers.
Cheers. Look, I didn't ask about that. I know that. How are you?
Dry, except for an ear. It's my fault. I should have told you when they said any cause or just impediment. I'm allergic to carbon peroxide.
Monoxide? Oh, darling, I'm sorry. I should have thought.
No, you shouldn't. Have a glass of red cooking.
No, thanks.
Just to stabilise the grommets.
No, I'm driving. How's the cough?
It's all right now.
Oh, fine. I was afraid you'd still got it.
It will be in a minute.
I am driving.
Unless you want me to. Cheers.
Well, you know I like you in the passenger seat.
You do?
You know I do. You slumped to the left and stopped the door rattling. I'm sorry, Diana, but you have to test. It says in all the books, never go on the road.
I absolutely understand, Atalie. I totally do.
Good.
Big trip like this, just the two of us clean across the Kalahari. Scorching by day, freezing by night, no one to ask the way but camels.
Oh.
Man and wife duo in astounding travel drama. Half mad with thirst and your winkers not working. It's not as if we're just popping down to Brighton 12 miles. Of course you have to choke people with exhaust fumes and squirt water in their ears. Do you think I don't see that?
It's a matter of give and take, marriage. They give it, you take it. No, not Sonny Potter. No, but you do need a touch of patience from time to time, and this was one of the times. Particularly as I was ready for the yacht before she was. She had been, but apparently there was a change of plan. Or of costume, anyway. And after she'd been changing it for about an hour, I made a foolish mistake. I went up and knocked at the door of Milady's boudoir. Well, it's both our boudoirs, actually, but you have to respect the privacies. It wouldn't have been so bad if I hadn't picked up a note on the stairs. I should have left it where it was. I mean, don't ask for trouble.
Who's that?
Were you expecting someone?
Mr. Humble. I can't find any trousers.
You were wearing some downstairs.
They were for lunch.
Ah, I was wondering what we were going to have.
Funny.
Thank you.
They were my fish trousers.
The herringbone, yes?
I felt like a fish lunch at the Ship's Feet fish place.
You said that very well.
Thank you. But the way you've been messing about, they'll be shut when we get there. Darling, could you move somewhere? I'm not trying to look. Do you mind? So then, it meant snacks at the bar, trousers.
Ah, sit on the bed.
But as the pubs will be shut when we get there, what with a broken fingernail, look.
Oh, that's awful. I can't see.
And all that troubled telephoning.
Was that the telephoning somebody you couldn't shout?
And getting the cat's dinner. And locking the windows, which certain other parties might have done, I should have thought. Now it's got to be jeans and a picnic. Come out! I know you're in there!
You haven't got them out already. Put them somewhere handy.
You think my mind's going?
Not at all, no. They're nice picnics.
Not without trousers.
A loaf of bread, a flask of cooking wine, and thou.
My God, I'm exhausted.
You need a day out.
I was telephoning Giebel. I couldn't shout because he was in the front garden, having a good cough. And because he was coughing in the garden, he didn't answer the phone. In any case, last time we asked him to mind the house, they stole the front gates. So I telephoned. I told you it was every other Wednesday. Mr. Humble comes to cut the grass. I'll have to leave a note.
Ah, now you're talking. I've got that here.
That's just a note to leave a note.
Yes. Are you leaving one for Tom Cheese?
I feel better now. I'll look under the beds.
I understand, humble, sorry, no tea, but who's Tom Cheese?
Nothing but suitcases under here. What? Oh, that's for the picnic. Tomatoes, cheese. You'll have to go and buy some.
Yes, I see. Oh, well, there's plenty of time.
What's under the other one? Move your great legs, can't you?
Yes, certainly. I'll move them to the Tom Cheese shop in that case.
Nothing under here. So then I thought I'd better telephone the... Oh, you fool.
Now what?
My jeans, now what? You've been sitting on them, you big half-witted lump. Get out. Go and picnic shop, find the vacuum flask, write to Humble, drop the latches, switch the bells off, move, you big cuckoo.
There are times to seek clarification, and there are times not. Still, I understood Tom Cheese and the latches. Also, switching off the bells, which is another part of the Magnolia Badminton crime prevention theory. Any felon casing the joint, hearing a bell ringing and no reply, assumes vacancy and busts in. No bell, and he goes off and busts in next door. I don't see it myself, but it isn't always wise to take the dissenting view. I left the car in the road when I got back. It had only taken me half an hour to find a Tom Cheese shop that had come back from his lunch, but driving a car in and out again was needlessly time-consuming. And it wasn't the only thing. Getting back in the house wasn't quick, either. It never is, getting into a house with the windows locked, the latches down, the bells off, and your keys inside. And while I was round the back, looking for a window she'd missed, because you can sometimes be lucky, that was how we got our clock nicked that time, there was a further delay.
You're locked. And you're locked. And you're locked. Ah, no, you're not. Ha ha ha! What did I tell you?
Yes. And what do you think you might be doing then?
Oh, hello. Good morning, Constable.
Good afternoon, sir.
Is it? I didn't realise the time.
You will when you've done some. Picked the wrong place here, sonny.
No. This one's open. I was just getting in. A minute ago, you would have been a godsend. Broken me a window. Now I just need a leg up. Would you mind?
I never advise humour on these occasions.
No, I agree. They aren't all that humorous very often, but all's well that ends well.
Just one moment, sir.
That's all it'll take. Just a quick pump up.
This one is open. Mm-hmm. I was just getting in. Anything further?
No, thanks. No, I shall be all right then. What do you mean, further?
You're not obliged to say anything, unless you wish to do so, but anything you say will be taken down.
What? Look, you don't mean... Oh, that... My wife's inside.
I'm not surprised. Holloway?
Inside here, damn it. Pottering about.
I never advise violent language. Name?
What?
Just your name, then we'll be pottering down the station. Name?
Potter. Now, look here.
Oh, that's quick thinking. Real name...
Yeah, now that is my cat. She knows me. Now come here, pussy. Come here. Come here, cat. Oh, fool. She's known me since I was a kitten.
And the cat's name, sir?
I don't know.
I thought not.
Very much not. She's the cat. We don't call her anything. What do you call yours?
I'll ask the question.
I think I should warn you.
I wouldn't advise
you. I am a writer of detective stories.
Very interesting.
Thousands think so. Hundreds. So you can't teach me anything about the law, and I would now like to avail myself of the well-known one telephone call.
Down the station?
Down the garden, in my literary writer's hut for authors with telephone extension. So if you would kindly follow me, I think you will find that my wife will give me a character reference, of sorts, anyway.
Come back here.
Look, you know, you are making a big mistake.
We can all do that, sir.
Well, there you are, then.
You for one.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means... Not supposed. It means, sir, that when you falsely claim residence at this address...
I certainly do.
I'm saying that, sir.
Not falsely, just claim.
Thus wasting police time, which is an offence, sir, as you well know from your knowledge of the law. And whereas we have an official notification, message timed at 10:37 a.m. that the premises are vacant all day, the lawful occupant being absent at Breezy Brighton, as the phrase goes...
Oh, shut up.
I would not advise...
Yes, yes. That's my wife, Mrs. Potter.
Might I finish?
It doesn't sound likely.
Indeed it does not, since our notification came from a spinster lady. Name of Miss M. Badminton.
I think I give up.
Already the victim of two thievings, to wit, front gates and a skeleton clock. And seemingly a strong advocate of crime prevention.
No, I'm not.
135, 136.
I'm not at all criticising.
138.
Only if you were writing it. Readers are quick on plot weakness, left here. They'll swallow the bells and the keys and the latches, but they'll say you could have stopped, and I'd have come down and accelerated you. Gerald?
149, 150. Exonerated. 151.
You couldn't stop counting.
153, 154.
What are you counting?
155. I've got to get to 30 and then take them out. If I don't count, I forget. Oh, hell.
Ew! What's that for, you fool?
Uncle Fred's egg spoons. I put them in the stuff jar, the silver cleaning pot. Can we back?
Not and stay popular. Don't worry about them.
Don't worry. By this time, they'll
be... bloody mad!
I don't drive a boat with a boat on top! They'll be melted up to the monograms.
No, they won't. I took them out.
Oh, yes, flaming Rolls Royces now. Come on, then. Struggle past. Struggle past. JG1. Jimmy Goldsmith.
Let's get on now, darling.
If not Joe Gormley. You did what?
I took them out. Left again here.
And you let me sit here counting, you daft woman. Good grief, I could have been up to 1,000,000. Oh, you know there is only one word for that. Unwifely. Do you think I'd ever let you count past 30 without asking in a husbandly way what was going on?
Oh, this is it. Ah, very good. Oh, very clever, darling.
Finding a little rustic lane like this. No people, no traffic, no nothing.
And bosky.
Oh, yes. How do you mean?
Trees. Bosky. All that bosk overhead.
Who'd think we were only 10 miles from the roar of the shopping precinct?
Who would?
The clash of typewriters.
Mr. Humble telling us about his bad back.
Not a house in sight.
Just the top of one round the bend.
Oh, never mind. It's paradise now.
It certainly is. Paradise what?
Enow. It's poetic for enough.
I'm feeling poetic. Something or other comes dropping, sir.
Peace. You don't think these are the trees that drop those gobs of glue that twice through the car wash won't shift and you're covered in little bits of duster flood until the next trade-in?
Oh, no. Have you had an owl wine?
I think so. I shall be ready for the Tom Cheese in a minute.
I haven't had quite an owl. I think you get just the right bouquet with these plastic mugs. Fruity. Or you could have got the policeman to knock with his truncheon.
What the hell was that?
Nothing. Just a boy in a batting helmet. Going to the house with his truncheon.
I didn't see that.
No, I was saying about the policeman. Hadn't he got his truncheon?
He asked the questions. And you wouldn't have answered.
He wasn't asking me.
Answered the knock.
Why shouldn't I?
Well, because you'd have thought it was old grass-cutting Humble telling you about his phlebitis.
Telling what?
Phlebitis! What did you want to find a little rustic lane like this for? You might have known it was a motocross practice track. No, let's pack up and find a place where peace comes dropping slow, for Pete's sake.
Well, so we did that. Backed up against the wire fence of a lovely, peaceful hayfield, where nothing came dropping slow but a sleepy old combine harvester. It was dropping right up to our bit of the fence, actually, and the sleepy old peasant at the controls had quite a surprising turn of language. He wanted to know why I'd bloody backed up against just the bit of fence he wanted to take out on two special hooks, because the bloody gate we'd carefully not backed up to wasn't wide enough for him to get his bloody harvester out. This wasn't good for anybody's nerves, and we hadn't started the picnic yet. And I wanted to get back before the big homeward rush from Brighton set in. So, what with one thing and another, and the next place being the side of a lovely, peaceful watercress bed, where a remote-controlled gun kept detonating every half-minute to scare off birds and people trying to have picnics, the only thing that really lifted our spirits was on the way home, when we came up behind Rolls-Royce JG1. It wasn't doing more than 50 miles an hour. Well, I reckon I can beat up to a good 65 with the foot right down. You know, over a short burst, which was all we really needed.
You can't do it.
I can do it.
We're rocking.
Slump against the door. We're doing it.
No, something's going to give.
Finish your picnic. Here we go. Eat my dust, JG1. Goodbye, Gormley. Oh, blast.
I must give Mrs. Potter her due. Yes, always, of course. Many wives, having asked if your exhaust pipe is going to drop off, couldn't resist the little remark when it did. But Miss Badminton, no. She was a bit upset when we got home and found another policeman, the afternoon shift, giving the third degree to Mr. Humble, both covered with grass cuttings. But look on the bright side is our motto. At least he'll never be round again telling us about the funny swelling in his elbow. As for the affair of the JG1, I could tell the day out had done her good because she made the perfect wifely remark on that.
Yes, well, I know, darling. What if a new one does cost a bomb? How many people do you know with a car like ours who ever had their exhaust pipes run over by a real Rolls-Royce?